My name's Max. I'm well aware that I'm the last thing standing in between you and your beers, so I'm going to be quick, don't worry. You can follow me on Twitter at MXSDBR, which sounds complicated, but it's actually just my name without vowels. And I work as an open source developer at Thinkmill. Thinkmill, we're an agency based in Sydney, Australia. I am not from Sydney, I'm from Vienna, Austria. Austria and Australia are not the same country, all right? Just to make sure. I work as an open source developer, meaning I do lots and lots of open source, some of which you might know. My most famous project is React Boilerplate, which is a starter kit for React application that gives you a fully set up environment to start your production-ready applications from. The second one that I maintain that's quite big is Keystone.js, which is a Node.js content management system. For Keystone.js, we built Elemental UI, which is a React component library that you can use, which contains things like buttons, modals, spinners. So you don't have to care about those things. You can just use Elemental UI, and they're done. And then the last one, and the most recent one, is Styled Components, which is a new way to style React applications. Now, I'm here today to talk about React. But what is React, actually? The original tagline that they had on the website said, React is the V in MVC. Now, if you think about that statement, what does that even mean? How does that make any sense at all? It's the V, it's the view and model view controller. But then what's the model and the controller? Like, what's happening here? The whole thing doesn't really make sense. And they've actually gotten rid of that statement from the documentation because React doesn't work in MVC at all. There's no model and there's no controller. Recently, one of the core authors of React, called Dan Abramov, actually tweeted, V is for vanilla. So now React is now the vanilla in MVC, which makes just about as much sense as before. The much better question to ask is, why does React exist? What does it do? What is it made for? What's the purpose? Why should you use React? Now, React was originally sort of created and invented at Instagram. Instagram is quite a big app. You might probably know it. And they have a lot of users. And they realized that the more users they got, the more money they had to pay. Because the more users they had, and they were rendering things on a server, right, with some sort of templating language. And the more users they got, the more servers they needed. And the more servers they needed, the more people to administer those servers they needed. So the more users they got, the more expensive everything became. And they realized that we're rendering things on a server, so we need a lot of servers for rendering. But what if we just rendered everything on the client, right? What if we just tell the client what to render and it does it on its own? And that's kind of why React was made, because rendering on a server is really expensive, but if you render on the client, you don't need as many servers or as many people at administrating servers. So actually, it's a lot cheaper. Instagram must have saved millions of dollars just making React and rendering everything client-side, right? Now that's good and all, there's a business case for React, but why should you use React? What do you actually use it for? Dynamic interfaces is sort of the thing that React is really good at. The thing is, dynamic interfaces provide a better user experience for your users. Because if you think about it, imagine every single time you press on the like button on Instagram, you would have to do a page refresh. Like, that doesn't make any sense, right? It's really jarring, and users would stop using your app as much. So by having dynamic interfaces where everything happens client-side, we, if done well, provide a better user experience for our users. Now, the issue is that dynamic interfaces are really, really hard. Like, they're not easy to do. There's a lot of logic going on. You need to think and keep track of a lot of different moving parts. Now, React makes dynamic interfaces easy. That's sort of the thing React is really, really, really good at. Now, to understand why, let's take a look at how React works. React, fundamentally, the core part of React just creates components. These components can be anything. They're your buttons, your modals. They can be your header, your footer. They can be everything you want. Your entire user interface is structured in components. Now, these components that React creates can then be rendered to different targets. The interesting thing or an interesting property of React is that the rendering layer is completely separate from the core. So normally, you would use React on the web, right? So you'd use React DOM, which is a separate package, React DOM to render your components as a website. But you could just as well write a native app with React and use React Native to render your native components to Android or iOS. Now, that kind of sounds like things like you might have heard of frameworks like Ionic or Cordova or those sorts of things, right? Who try to do the whole write once, run anywhere thing, right? Where you write your code once and it runs as a website, as an iOS app, as an Android app, wherever you want, right? You just write your code once. But React is not like that. React is not write once, run anywhere at all. React is learn once, write anywhere, which is a totally separate idea. Because in reality, when you write an app with something like Cordova, the issue that you run into is that it's really hard to use the exact same code across a lot of different rendering targets, right? Writing the exact same code to display an app on the web, on Android, and on iOS is not an easy task. With React, what you do instead, your developers only have to learn React once. And then they can write iOS, Android, and web apps with React. And the interesting thing is that React, because it's all JavaScript, React allows you to share a lot of the code. I have a friend who works at Runtastic, which is a startup that was bought by Adidas from Austria. And Runtastic has started integrating React Native into their native applications. And what they realized is that with React Native, they can reuse about 80 to 90% of their code between Android and iOS, while still providing a platform-specific experience, right? So it doesn't feel like a Cordova app that you're running on Android and iOS. It feels like an Android app, and it feels like an iOS app on your iPhone. But most of the code is shared, but there still is like 10% of the specific parts, just some components that do something slightly differently, right? Some material components that look like the Google design for Android, and then some, you know, the tab bar for iOS and that sort of thing. But most of the business logic, all the data fetching, all of that, can all be shared in a shared library. Now, I just mentioned components a bunch of times, so let's talk about components. The web's been around for a long, long, long time, right? The first website came out in 1991, as we heard Shep say before. And since then, things have changed quite a bit, right? The web was originally envisioned as this network for scientific papers. So you'd have your scientific paper on the web and other scientists could read it, right? Everywhere around the world, really exciting. But that's not what the web is used for anymore, right? We're building really, really interactive experiences, applications on the web, which inherently aren't scientific documents, right? The whole mental model of documents doesn't work for, you know, an application. Let's take a look at an interface that probably many of you look at quite often, which is just Google search results, right? Now, if you think about this in terms of components, what you would do with components here is something like this. You'd have a header component and a search results component, right? That's sort of the thing that we do when you're working with components. And now, this is totally not React specific, right? If you've ever used BEM, or you have a style guide, or you use object-oriented CSS, or any of those things, that's the exact same thing, right? It's just, doesn't matter if you call them blocks, or components, or whatever you want. They're just sort of encapsulated parts of your interface. Now, the interesting thing about components is that they can be composed. So components can consist of even more components. So if you take a look at this header, that could consist of a logo component, a search bar component, a tab nav component, and over there an apps toggle and a button, right? So our header component isn't just one big thing, it's composed of smaller components. And these smaller components we can then take and reuse in different parts of our application, right? Because why would we do a different button for every single time we render a button? Doesn't make any sense. Just have a button component and reuse it. And the thing is, we can go even smaller than that, right? So if we take a look at the search bar, in reality, that search bar consists of two things as well. It consists of an input and a search icon, right? And then our tab nav isn't just a tab nav. It also has some tabs, right? So it has a tab over there and, you know, four more tabs. And then the other ones look like tabs, but are actually toggles. So if you've ever used the Google search interface, those actually aren't tabs. Those open like dropdowns. So we'll just make those a toggle component. And the thing is, we could go on and on and on with this, right? But every interface is sort of built up fundamentally of tiny encapsulated parts that you can reuse. And React really encourages building your interfaces like that. Now let's take a look at what components look like in React. And I'm going to show some code here. I know it's quite late, but don't worry, it's not a lot of code. React has this very fundamental function, which is called React.createElement. And that's actually most of React. If you understand React.createElement, you understand a very big part of React. Now, reactor create elements creates DOM nodes. So if we say reactor create element div and render that with React DOM, what we get is a div. Well, who would have thought? Very interesting. The same thing is, of course, true if we say H1 or if we say input or whatever element we want. You can even render custom elements like this. You can render web components with React, which is really interesting, but I'm totally not going to get into today. So reactor create elements creates elements. Now, elements sometimes have attributes, right? An input, what if we want to make this a radio button, right? We would have to set type radio. Reactor create element has a second argument, which is an object. So in our case, we can just say reactor create element input, and then pass an object and say the type should be radio. And then if we render that with React DOM, what we get is input type radio. Who would have thought? Let's go a bit further and look at another example. In this case, we create a heading. Now, headings normally have some sort of text, right? And you probably want to add a class name to that. Class name is a bit of an interesting one in React, because in JavaScript, class is now a reserved keyword, right? As of ES6, if you name a variable class, JavaScript is going to throw an error and tell you, what are you doing? Like, class is a reserved keyword. You can't do that. So in React, if you want to, say, set the class of an element, you actually have to call it class name, because class is a reserved keyword. That's one of two or three inconsistencies between React and the DOM, and we'll get to what that actually means later on. But just for now, if you want to set the class of an element, you say class name. Forget about it. Now, the text, we just pass as the third argument, right? Just say H1, class name heading, and then pass in the text, hello world. Now, the interesting thing about these elements is that this last argument, where we now say hello world, can also be other elements. So we could wrap this heading in a div by just calling reactor create element another time. So what I just did there is I just wrapped our reactor create element H1 in a reactor create element div. And that's just, you know, an element that renders another element. If we wanted to set a class on that div, we would just pass, you know, some properties to our div element. Now, the thing is, this div class name wrapper, right? We actually kind of want to reuse this, because it's our wrapper, and it should be the same on every page that we have, right? Every page should have the same breakpoints, which are defined with the wrapper class name. So how do we extract this to be sort of a common thing? It's just JavaScript, so we can just make it a function, right? So we can say const wrapper equals function, and then it gets this props, which we'll get to very soon. And then we say react return reactor create element div class name wrapper. And then notice where before we said reactor create element div, we now just say reactor create element wrapper. Now, if you read through this code, you'll actually notice there's a problem. We don't see our heading when we render it with the React DOM. It's not a typo in the slide. If you try doing it like this, it's not going to show the heading. And the reason is that what we now do with this reactor create element wrapper call is we create a component. And components get this props variable, which is the properties of the component. Now, this third argument that our component gets passed here, which is our heading, doesn't get attached anywhere. What we need to do is we need to tell React to take the children that our component gets passed and pass them onto the DOM. So watch closely. What we do up here is we just say props to children as a third argument, and suddenly we have the heading again. And that was just a lot of explanation for a very fundamental principle, which is that components get whatever you pass to them as properties or as children as the arguments. They don't do anything magically. It's just JavaScript, right? So you have to take care of attaching the children to the actual DOM node again. So that's just what React components look like. It's just functions. Now, React has a very special property. This property is that it's very fast. Now, that's because rendering the whole DOM is really, really slow. If you have some sort of interactive application where you can draw, for example, and you would trash the entire DOM every time something changes, that would be horrendously slow. Like, you would never have 60 frames per second, like, at all. So what React does is it creates a representation of the DOM. So when you say react.createElement, that doesn't just go ahead and say, OK, document.appendChild H2. What it actually does is it creates a representation of the DOM. All right, and that sounds kind of weird, so let's take a look at what that actually means. When we say react.createElement H1, what React creates is an object, right? And that object says just type H1, props, class name heading, and then children, hello world, right? It's just, you know, it's just a mapping from that function to an object. And then if we would wrap that again in a div, what React just does is it creates another object around it, right? So we would say an object with a type of wrapper, props of null, then children is an array where the first element is, again, our heading element. Now, this is a tree structure, right? You can nest this as deep or as high up as you want. And the thing is, React creates this huge object for your entire representation of the DOM. That's not useful in the first render, right? The first time you render your page, what React is going to do, it's going to go through your tree and create all the elements based on what you said. But where it gets really, really, really useful is when you do changes. Because what React does is on every tick, on every time something changes, it calculates the changes between the previous representation and the current representation of the DOM. And it can do that because objects, right? It's just looping through objects and nested objects, right? All it does is just loop through two objects and check if the fields are the same. And if they aren't, there's changes. Now, take a look at this sort of tiny objects that we just saw. And don't blink, because I'm going to change something, all right? Boom, there we go. Did you see what changed? It wasn't very fancy, right? What changed is just the text, right? We just changed the text. Now, what React does is it goes in and it compares these two trees. It loops through every single property and value and goes, OK, we have the previous representation of the DOM, and now something's changed. So we have the new representation of the DOM. So what exactly are the differences? It just checks that. It just figures it out. And then when it's done that, what it does is it only renders the changes to the DOM. It doesn't trash the entire DOM and re-renders everything just because a tiny thing changed. It just re-renders the tiny part. Right? You've just changed the text, so let's just take out the text and put in the new text. Right? That's it. And that's why React is really, really, really fast. Now, if you've ever seen React code, you might have heard of something called JSX, which is HTML kind of in your JavaScript. Now, that sounds really weird, but I'm going to show you why it's useful. So if we take a look at this code again, it's sort of readable, right? If you really concentrate and you read through this, you realize, OK, so we create a div with a class name of wrapper. And then so you can sort of map that code to the HTML that this will actually render, right? But it's sort of a bit tedious. Now, what if we could just replace our React.createElement heading call with this, right? Suddenly, it's a lot clearer what that will render to the DOM, right? Compared to previously, where it just said React.createElement H1, it now actually kind of looks like HTML, right? So just by looking at this, I already know, OK, it's going to render an H1 with a class of heading and with a text of hello world, right? I don't need to think about it. It's just that's going to render that HTML down there, obviously. Now, we can do the same thing inside our component, right? Our React.createElement div call, we can just replace with a div with a class of wrapper that renders its children. It's as simple as that. Now, where it gets really interesting is when you start rendering components like this. So our React.createElement wrapper call, we can actually just replace with wrapper, right? Because, you know, all we do here is we create an element that renders a wrapper, so let's just replace it with wrapper. Now, look at this, and then look at what this renders to the DOM, right? And now compare it to what we had previously. This is pretty tedious to read, but if you look at this, I know exactly what this is going to render to the DOM. It's a lot clearer to work that way. Now, it does require a bit of special tooling, right? You need to transpile this syntax to the React.createElement thing. So you need some sort of, you need to use something like Babel, which is a tool that transpiles your JavaScript. But for that, you don't have to use it, A. And B, if you do use it, what you get is a lot more clearer code. Now, just a few minutes ago, I launched something entirely new, which is a course where you can learn React interactively in your browser. So this teaches you everything from React and Redux to so state management, over testing, over immutable data structures in JavaScript, teaches you everything you need to know to build an actual React application. You can go to this with this tiny URL, mxs.east/mstsreact. And there's a code that I made, actually, just for you. So if you use the code aureactlaunch, you get 60% off the entire course. Right, and it teaches you everything you need to know in your browser. So there's playgrounds. You have multiple files. It literally feels like writing an app, except you don't need to set up anything on your laptop. It runs on your phone if you want to. If you want to code on your tablet while you're on the go, totally works. And yeah, that was pretty much the shortest overview of React I've ever done. So enjoy your beer, I guess. Thank you for having me. Do you have any questions? if you ask a question, be sure to know that you're probably going to get linked by everybody else who just wants to drink beer. But I mean, if you want to go ahead with that, sure. No, I'm just kidding. If you have any questions, I'm around as well. Yeah, there's a question back there. Yeah. A very brave. So you know who to beat up later, right? He's standing in between you and your beers. Just saying. Sorry? Did I ever make... No. I don't even know what that is. I'm sorry. I can't answer that question. Any other questions? No? Well, then enjoy your beer. Have a great evening.